followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "Do not deceive yourself. If you think you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise." Gracious and omniscient God, you look beyond our foolishness and self-pride and show us pathways to walk that can help us understand our place in your kingdom, so that we might better serve in this place and share the load of responsibilities that fall to each of us individually and collectively. Bless us this day, therefore, with your presence and strengthen us so that we may be faithful. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nunslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 19th day.
The senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having
been
fully
read. You've heard the motion of the senator from the 23rd. As many as are of the opinion as shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests, and this chair has an introduction to make of a very special, distinguished young lady who is an award winner in the Missouri Arts Council contest, and her name is Callie Englehart. She is an eighth grader at Jackson High School, and she is holding up her artwork here on the right side gallery. Her parents, Bob and Susan Englehart, have accompanied her today along with her younger brother, Case, and I ask all of them to rise, and let's give a special welcome to these folks from the Arts Council and this young winner. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I have proud to have the Missouri Association of Nurse Anesthetists here. Easy for you to say. They are a great help in the rural areas and give us access, and they're up in the upper gallery.
Senator, that group is a very special friend of mine. Let's welcome the nurse anesthetists to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President, very special guest. Mr. President, I would like to introduce the doctor of the day, who's from Hannibal, Dr. Lent Johnson. Hopefully nobody needs his services today, but he is here to provide that if needed. Also with him, I also have some other very special guests, other doctors, Dr. Jeff Davis from Memphis and Dr. Ken Jones over here on the side. So actually we've got quite a troop of doctors here today.
Let's welcome the medical group of the senator from Lewis who can attend to our sniffles or anything more serious. The senator from Green was on his feet.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm very pleased to be joined by a number of Junior League women from across the state. The mission of Junior League is to train women to positively impact their communities through volunteerism. And the leagues advocate for issues like ending child abuse and neglect, improving children's health and well-being, and increasing literacy. And there are a number of those that are here from Springfield this morning. I would ask that they stand, the entire group, and be welcome to the Missouri Senate.
Of the senator from Green to the Missouri Senate from the Junior League group.
President. I'm also pleased to be joined by a number of folks from the MS Society in Springfield, and they are on your right and my left. And if they would stand to be recognized, I'd also appreciate it. Certainly glad to have them here from Springfield as well.
Thanks for recognition by the Missouri Senate. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of some very special guests. Over to my right and your left, Mr. President, I would like to ask each of these five or six guests to stand up as I mention their names. We can all feel much more safe in the chamber this morning knowing that we have good, able-bodied military personnel here to take care of us. The first one I want to introduce is Sergeant Carney. Sergeant Carney, please stand up. He joined the Army as an infantryman in 2005 and has had a deployment to Iraq for Operation Iraqi Freedom. Next, we have Staff Sergeant Ryan Gardners. He is also a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. He had a grandfather, just a special note, he had a grandfather that landed on Normandy Beach on D-Day, and another grandfather, his other grandfather, flew over Normandy Beach to drop paratroopers. Next, we've got Sergeant First Class Sherry Fox. And she is the station commander at the Washington Recruiting Station in Washington, Missouri. She's got 19 years of active duty service in the Army, and she's won many awards and commendations. She's served in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia. Then we've got First Sergeant Ben Gibbons. First Sergeant Gibbons has been in the Army for nearly 23 years, and he's had deployments to Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, deployment to Panama, that was a hot spot, Iraq two times, and Afghanistan. Next we have Captain Amy Corey. Captain Corey is currently serving as the commander for the Mid-Missouri Recruiting Station, headquartered at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and she is a recipient of the Bronze Star. And then finally, we have a repeat guest, someone that you'll remember from last time, Michael Pate. He is a true American war hero. He received 2 silver stars, 6 bronze stars, Mr. President. And so today I would like for all of those guests that I just mentioned to stand up and receive special recognition from the Missouri Senate.
Let's welcome the special guests of the senator from Franklin to the Missouri Senate. We're very proud of your service to our country, and you rank everyone in here. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, introduction, very special guest. In the gallery behind us have Teddy Beiler and the Missouri Dental Hygienist Association. They're students from all across southern Missouri and students from the Forest Park area. Please make them feel welcome.
Will the guests of the senator from Phelps please rise for recognition? I'm not sure where you are. Well, we'll welcome them anyway. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from the second.
I have a concurrent resolution.
Send it forward, sir. Care to explain your resolution?
No explanation either.
The chair, in the absence of the senator from Cape, is going to designate the young man, Case Englehart, as a page for the day. Seated on the front. And the resolution will be printed in the journal, Senator. We're on the order of business of concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. The senator from Boone.
Bills, they do not require any explanation.
Three bills.
Send them
forward. Send them forward via the young page, Case Englehart. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 764, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to public records and meetings.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 765, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to fees for garnishments.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 766, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to the Residential Treatment Agency tax credit.
Read the third bill. Oh, that was the third bill. Introduction of bill. Senator from Lawrence.
President, I have one bill.
Send your bill forward.
What?
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 767, introduced by Senator Goodman, an act relating to Navy Cross special license plates.
Introduction of bills. Senator from 8th. Send your bills forward. The first bill.
Senate Bill 768, introduced by Senator Krause, an act relating to veterans treatment courts.
Senator.
No explanation.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 769, introduced by Senator Krause, an act relating to anemometer towers.
Senator. No explanation.
Senator from the 5th, did you have a bill?
I have a bill, Mr. President.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 770, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to the reporting requirements for area agencies on aging.
Requires no explanation, Mr. President. Thank you.
President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 771, introduced by Senator Nieves, an act relating to the duties and liabilities of ski area operators and skiers.
Senator.
No explanation, Mr. President.
Senator from Phelps.
Introduction bill.
Thank you, Senator. Send it forward. Read the bill.
I have one in my district.
Senate Bill 772, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to the Abortion-Inducing Drug Safety Act.
Senator.
No explanation.
Senator from Polk.
President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 773, introduced by Senator Parson, an act relating to the time period for filing declarations of candidacy.
Mr. President, normally I don't explain the bills when I introduce them too much, but in this particular case, I think for my colleagues here in the Senate, it has a definite impact on every senator. But what this actually bill would do would change the filing dates of the election coming up to a later date, about a month delay on it from March the 27th to April the 24th. The reason for doing that is because the commission that currently are doing this, that they can have an opportunity to come up with a redistricting map for the state of Missouri, and I don't believe they can get that done by the February 28th filing date. So this would change those filing dates, Mr. President.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 1st.
Could I inquire the senator from the 28th?
Does the senator Polk. Yield? Does the senator yield?
I do.
He yields, Polk. May inquire.
I said Polk. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for yielding. I'm being harassed by the senator from Cole.
Understandable.
Cole.
I understand.
So with the introduction of this legislation, is it your position then that the commission will not be able to get their work accomplished by the open of filing on February 28th?
I believe that to be correct. There's a 15-day period that the map has to be for view, and their first meeting is on February the 18th. So, therefore, they wouldn't be able to meet that timeline by the filing date.
Their first meeting is on the 18th of February. Is that right?
My understanding, yes.
Okay. And then if they drop the map on that day, then they have to wait how long after that?
15 days.
And what is that period for? For review or public?
For review and public hearings. They have to have so many public hearings within that time period.
Right.
And it has to be for view for 15 days. And that's the Constitution.
By the Constitution, it has to be reviewed for 15 days.
Right.
Okay. Any thought on if they're not able to accomplish the work then within, because per the Constitution, this thing could drag out for how long?
Well, they have 6 months.
6 months,
six
right.
Months,
right. So any thought that possibly we'd have to even delay the filing even further than the bill you're introducing?
You possibly could, but not very much. Because somewhere in May would be probably, I guess I want to say a drop-dead date, because of the August primaries. So you'd have to go with something, whatever that might be. It's the old map, which there's a lot of argument on which maps you would go with. But something would have to give before the middle of May.
Okay, so...
to be able to file for the August primaries.
And your legislation is moving it back 1 month?
Right.
Is that correct?
Correct.
To the end of March?
Right. I guess what I'm saying is some other colleagues said, hey, can we move it back as far as we can? That's still possible to do that through the process. I'm not sure. I don't have a problem with that if that's what we felt like as a body to do. But I think it's important that we have this in place. Hopefully we can resolve the redistricting maps here in the state of Missouri without it getting tied up in the federal courts or the court
right.
systems if we can keep from happening. That's what I'm trying to...
Have you had the opportunity to have discussions with anybody within the party or members of that commission that were put on there by the governor as far as how important this is, as far as timeliness, to those that don't have any certainty whatsoever as far as what their district is, and people making decisions on whether they're going to run for different offices based on the outcome of these maps?
I hope, Senator, every one of the individuals sitting in this chamber delivers that message to those people that's going to be making this decision, how important this is for the state of Missouri, and how important it is for the Senate. And, for the most part, I think most of us as sitting senators understand that we need to get this done. And there's probably close to an agreement to get that done, And I think that pressure needs to be put on them to try to adopt the map here in the state of Missouri.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from First.
Thank you. Could I inquire the Senator from Buchanan?
The Senator from Buchanan Hill. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm quite well also. Hey, I wanted to inquire of you on an issue that we were discussing in the Appropriations Committee this morning. It wasn't being part of the formal presentation. We actually looked at public debt this morning. But
it was just you and me discussing it.
We were discussing it, right. And I think it is an issue that is kind of connected to the issue that we talked about yesterday as far as Medicaid, some
right.
problems
and
that we had in Medicaid and maybe potential overspending or policies that were in place that were costing the taxpayers money.
And that have not been promulgated as rules.
Right.
Which they should have been.
Right.
And I got an email from Representative Wanda Brown.
I also received the same email, and I think probably all the members here did.
She needs to have kudos for bringing this issue before us. And what she said in there, she put it in bold, it says, I discovered that illegal immigrants are receiving more welfare benefits than American citizens. And I've done some research, and I asked Senate Research to find some information, or Cindy Cadillac of the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules. It turns out that it's true that you can have two identical families and one of them have illegal immigrants and the other not, and have all, legally present citizens of Missouri. the one family can be denied benefits for food stamps, while the one with the illegal immigrant earning the same amount of money as the other family, they get food stamps. This is wrong. This is horrible.
And walk the body through as far as how that happens because of the policies in place and how they, the pro rata.
Right. You know. Well, it turns out that Congress passed this law in 1977 under the Carter administration that no illegal aliens should get food stamps. And indeed, technically, they aren't supposed to. But they promulgated rules, the Department of Agriculture did, that said you will not count the illegal aliens' income in the calculation, which meant that families with illegal aliens could get food stamps. So then Congress voted to overrule that. And in 1982, President Reagan put those rules into effect, and so every state was given the option. Either you count a pro rata share of the illegal alien's income, or you don't as a state. And it turns out that four states don't count that: Kansas, Arizona, Nebraska, and Utah. And it turns out Missouri does, all the way back many years ago, and we've been doing it this way. So we have two families, one that has illegal immigrants can get food stamps and one that doesn't can't. Or the one who has illegal immigrants can get more than the other one because they're not counting all of the income of the person there. So let's just say that there are four people in the family, one of them's an illegal immigrant that earns money. They only count 3/4 of that illegal immigrant's money. So let me give you the example of two families of three. Okay, two families of three, they both have an illegal immigrant in them. Okay, in the first family, let's just say the mother is an American citizen and she works and she earns $1 more than the cutoff for a family of two. Remember, for the size of the family unit, they don't count the illegal immigrant. So since she's here legally, they count all of her income for that family of two, and she earns $1 too much, so those people, they don't get food stamps. And that American citizen child does not get food stamps. Now, let's just say that instead of the mother working, the illegal immigrant works and makes the same exact amount of money. Well, they only count 2/3 of the income, voila. The family where the illegal immigrant works, they get the money. So what we have here is an incentive for illegal immigrants not to work. I mean, in essence, but they still get still benefit from it. And then there are many other scenarios like that.
Well, and then the important part for us to remember is in this program in Missouri, the food stamp program.
Three senators on the floor. Senator for Stoddard, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce a special guest.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have with us on the gallery floor here on my left, to your right, a young man from Puxico, Missouri, who presented me with a beautiful piece of art. He drew and painted a picture of a deer, a buck, out in the wild, and it'll be hanging in my office, and I appreciate his good work and his commitment to art. His name is Josh Hale. He's from Puxico, Missouri. He's here for the Arts Council of Southeast Missouri, and if the body would welcome him, I'd appreciate it.
Would the guests of the Senate from Stoddard please rise and be welcomed by the Missouri Senate. Senator from Howell, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Yes, Mr. President, to seek unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today I have Wyatt Thomas from West Plains. He's a junior at West Plains High School, and he's doing the job shadow today. So, he's over here on the left. The body would make him feel welcome.
Well, will the guest of the Senator from Howell please be welcome to the Missouri Senate. Enjoy your day. Senator from the First, you still have the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Not to prolong this, Senator, let's just say that we've got a $1.3 billion food stamp program in Missouri that's off budget, all right? And if other states are addressing this issue, you say there's four states.
That's correct.
That so that we can make that program, whether you support it or not, equitable to Missouri citizens who are American citizens, that we ought to have a formula in place that doesn't skewer it so that, that an uneven amount of benefits are going to households that have illegal immigrants in that household, correct?
Right. It's outrageous, and it's also very much disappointing that the Department of Social Services has not done their job and promulgated rules to follow for this process. It took forever to find out the truth of this matter because they didn't promulgate the rules that they should have.
Okay, well, thank you, Senator, and thank the representative for bringing it to our attention.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Do I need to go to announcements for this?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to let members know that we've got a sound technician that is looking at the sound system, making sure that we've had an issue with senators hearing one another, so they're working on that today. So if you see somebody walking around, that's what they're doing. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will move the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from Howell.
Yes, thank you again, Mr. President. Your committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight has a report.
Please send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, to which is referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 592, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Perguson, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 455.
Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 455. The Senator from Johnson.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 455 be called up from the informal calendar and taken up for perfection.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. The Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I do move that Senate Bill 455 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Senate Bill 455 deals with higher education, and it deals with three kind of concepts. One is retention of students. We want to keep students in either a 2 or 4 year college. We don't want them to drop out. We also want to make it easier when they're transferring from 2 year institutions to 4 year institutions, and to develop a course library of some 25 lower level courses that will be transferable all across the state with our public institutions. And then finally, something called a reverse transfer. Reverse transfer would be if a student had gone to community college, maybe didn't get all the credits they needed to satisfy a graduation from an associate's program. They transfer to a four-year college. They get more credits that would suffice to get an associate's degree. And so what would happen is the two-year community college would then issue an associate's degree. It's called a reverse transfer. Be glad to answer any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Johnson to print and perfect Senate Bill number 455. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from Johnson has renewed and closed on his motion to order printed and perfected Senate Bill 455. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have ordered printed and perfected Senate Bill 455. The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order. Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar. Senate Bill 442, this with Senate Committee substitute, Senator from Saline. Senator from the 23rd. That bill.
Mr. President, we lay that bill over.
The bill shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 564. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 564 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Phelps. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is now before the body. Senator.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill number 564 be declared perfected and ordered printed. And, Mr. President, what this bill does, and this actually came to us from a gentleman that was being transferred to Fort Leonard Wood. He was actually active duty coming back from Afghanistan, and he found out that this gentleman, and this has happened a couple times, does not have a car. He rides a motorcycle. And under Missouri's rules and regulations, he cannot get a motorcycle license without going through the testing, the whole thing. And he felt that was a little unfair. And so what this act does, it under the successful completion of a military motorcycle training course that meets or exceeds the Motorcycle Safety Foundation rules and standards by the applicant who's an active member of the military force, shall constitute an actual demonstration of the person's ability to exercise due care in the operation of a motorcycle or motor tricycle, and no further testing shall be required to obtain motorcycle or motor tricycle licensing in Missouri. And it's very simple, very straightforward. It's pretty much what it does. I'll entertain questions.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Phelps to order perfected and printed Senate Bill number 564. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion? The senator from Franklin, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
To inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I just wanted to compliment you because I know that you were busy giving us the information about this bill, and I don't know whether or not your peripheral vision was good enough to be able to see all those soldiers sitting over on the side, and they were all nodding in confirmation. I mean, it was a unanimous vote from, and I know you probably, they're wearing camouflage stuff, so you might not be able to see them over there, but they are there. And all their heads were nodding up and down, and even the retired soldier, they're all very much in favor of this bill. And so I think you've just made 6 friends that I can tell you, Senator, those are very good friends to have. And so I think you've got a good bill here, and we've certainly got support from the side gallery over there.
Thank you for pointing that out. That
You're
means
welcome.
A lot.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The senator from Phelps has renewed his motion to order perfected and printed Senate Bill number 564. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have ordered perfected and printed Senate Bill number 564. Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar. Senate Bill 470. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can we lay that over,
on the informal calendar? Senate Bill number 572. Senator from the 23rd.
Lay that over on the informal calendar.
It shall
calendar.
Be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill number 589. Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I ask that Senate Bill 589 be brought before the body.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from the 8th. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 8th.
I move for adoption of House Bill, Senate Bill 589.
The Senator from the 8th has made the motion to order perfected and printed, to adopt the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 589. Senator, you need to restate your motion, please.
I move substitute for Senate Bill 589 be perfected and printed. I mean adopted.
Close. You may explain.
Okay. Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 589 is a bill that would take the fines for red light cameras and move it to the line item for transportation in the school funding. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from the 8th. Does any Senator desire to be heard upon that motion? The Senator from the 10th, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Just had a couple of quick questions for you. I was not on the committee that this bill was heard in, and I wanted to see exactly how the funding works. So right now, when municipalities have red light cameras and fines are collected, those go into presumably whatever the equivalent of GR in those cities is. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then this bill would say that that money has to go into local school districts?
Yes. It would go to the school district that the camera resides in.
Okay, so in my instance, as you know, I've got, and you know what, Mr. President?
Senator from the 10th.
I'm having trouble hearing right now, and it's not necessarily because of anyone in the chamber, but if I could just be quiet for a minute until that door gets closed. Thank you so much, Mr. President. Okay, and so, as you know, I've got four school districts in mind, and so if there were a red light camera in the center district, the revenue from that red light camera would go to center.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? And so it's based on where it's geographically located.
Correct.
Okay, and then the money, how does the money get from the offender or alleged offender to the school district?
It would be paid to the municipality, which would then send the money to the local school district. It does not come to the state in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, so we're not having anything
to do with
that.
We're not involved with it.
So the money just flows from the offender to the municipality, and then the municipality has to pay that to
the school district.
And does the municipality, are they able to take any handling fees out?
No, I offered that as an opportunity to the Municipal League as a compromised version. They were not interested in coming to the table to resolve that and be able to take a portion of it for the camera. They were just opposed to the idea. So I offered it I said, hey, if it's about safety, then let's make it about safety and take the money and put it to schools and everybody's good, and I'll give you a small portion of that for administrative costs.
Sure.
This is about money, generating money for local municipalities. And so
okay,
I'm
so
just trying
to get
that.
They weren't interested in collecting, recouping any funds to help pay for the red light camera or anything like that. They just said, we're not going
to
talk to you.
Well, they're just opposed to the bill because it's not about, I contend it's not about safety. It's about finding ways for hidden revenue or raising taxes or fees for their local municipality.
Well, yeah, and wasn't there a big article in the Kansas City Star recently?
There was.
That absolutely said that, in fact, maybe that those intersections have gotten more dangerous since the red light cameras were installed?
I wouldn't say more dangerous. It hasn't improved any safety issues over the time. So that was in the Kansas City Star. You pointed exactly. Right.
So if this isn't really for public safety, it's about generating revenue, why don't we just funnel that revenue to folks that need it really a lot, probably more. Okay. My last question is there any restriction on how the schools can spend the money?
It is going to the transportation line item in the schools. In committee, we had a little objection, and so we decided to make it, since it's about coming from transportation, putting it to the transportation line item so that they can spend it on that.
And then, of course, they can...
Of course, okay. They have almost every school has buses, and so this is just helps them with that cost.
Well, that just sounds like a win-win proposition, Senator. Thank you for your inquiry.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Looks like we might have some guests. The senator from the 18th.
Yes, Mr. President, I wish unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests this morning.
The senator from the 18th is wished for unanimous consent, and it shall be granted. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. This morning, I have the state 2A softball champions for the state of Missouri from Palmyra, Missouri. They're over here on the side gallery. They've had a very good year this last year. And their head coach is Joe Brandenburg and the assistant coach, Mindy Ray. And I would just ask the body to make them feel welcome. I know they've already been to the house, but it is a great honor that they were state champions this year, and we most definitely welcome them to the Capitol. I'd like everybody to make them feel welcome.
Would the state champions please rise to be welcomed by the Missouri Senate? Congratulations for all your hard work. You made Missouri proud. Senator from the 14th, you are the next seeking recognition. For what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
So we had a little objection.
Say again?
A huge objection in committee in regards to where this allocation would go. The way that you originally had it written, it could have gone to... I guess, advocacy for reproductive care in a school district. And when I raised that issue, you guys had an amendment to target those revenues from a municipality to go directly to transportation. Now, you probably have heard in the past that I sit on my local school board. Did you know I sit on my local school board?
I did not know that, Senator.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you have done that.
Yeah, so I'm holding two seats at one time. And when we talk about funding and our COFRs and how we're going to pay out for certain things, there's really only one pot of money, one bank account. There's not several bank accounts in our school district, just like one. And as a school board, we make the determination of where we want money to go. And it's kind of interesting because last week we had a marvelous workshop in our school district in regards to adequate, accurate sex education. And I was very proud of my school board because we really want our students to have as much access to healthcare as possible and be responsible for their sexual activity. And as a board, we decided to go beyond what the Missouri School Boards Association asks for certain school boards to do, and we decided to go a little bit the liberal route, which is a wonderful step in the right direction. But how often do you see one public entity paying checks to another public entity? I'm just curious to know.
I think it happens quite frequently. I mean,
often does a municipality pay money to a school district? Because I don't see that.
In
the 8 school districts that I have, I don't know... and of the 42 municipalities that I have, I don't know not one of them that pays a check to a school district.
Property taxes?
No, I'm saying a check from the municipality.
Yeah, I believe
paying
that
a check to a school district.
I believe that there are some violations that do have those fines go into schools already. I don't know what cities actually write a check to the municipality of its senator. I mean, we all have staff. We could all get that researched.
Now, I know we do some cost sharing, so we decided this year in the city of University City, we were going to do some cost sharing in terms of cleaning the roads after a snowfall. And I know we do that, but and we also have another committee on our school board with the municipality so that we can work more effectively together in different things. And but there's never been a conversation of revenue from the municipality going to the school district. And, you know, it seems like a problem because some of these municipalities, and again, I have 42 of them, are trying to increase taxes. Some of them are trying to. I know that in our school district, we've been talking about a bond issue coming up in the next couple of years. And, you know, a lot of the residents don't want to have any of their property taxes increased. And frankly, I've been one of those advocates to not have increased taxes at all. But what concerns me here is that we're going into a situation that I've never seen before. So I just would like to have examples of where a municipality or even a county, for that matter, has given, paid out a check for whatever to a school district. We have 500 school districts. What, 114 counties, several municipalities. I'm just looking for one example of where a municipality or a county pays out a check to a school district.
Well, I mean, the county collects the property taxes, so it's
absolutely
very easy to see that that money is funneling from the county
but
to
that's
the school.
An agreement. That's something that happens for all of us. But in this situation is unique.
Well, Senator, the main purpose of this bill is to I think there's a proliferation of cameras going up. Arnold has gone to a speed camera. The city of Arnold has gone to a speed camera. And I believe that these cameras are going to go up everywhere unless we get control of these cameras. And this is a mechanism. If it's about safety, by all means, go right ahead, put the camera in. But let's take that revenue away so that that revenue is not the reason that they're moving forward with this.
Alderman Antonio French in the city of St. Louis, he, and my mom's kind of opposed to it, but she doesn't live in his ward. She lives in the 28th. He has requested of the city that they put up cameras all over because of crime, different things that are happening within his community. And for the most part, people aren't objecting. There's no money that's involved in that. But his interest is that people in the community are safe in his ward. And I think for some of these municipalities that have red lights, what their interest is to maintain safety. I mean, I don't think that this is about revenue. I don't think this is about
There's an article in Kansas City Star that cited they've had.
I'm not from Kansas City. I'm from St. Louis, and I have municipalities that have red lights, red light cameras.
So, I mean, if you're not for funding moving to the schools, I can understand that. I think we're just going to disagree on this. I think the senator from the 10th summarized it pretty clearly. I mean, we have a study done by an independent agency in Kansas City that has studied the red light cameras. There's been an article in the Kansas City Star about this, how the red light cameras are not decreasing and making it safer in those intersections. So, I mean, I believe the studies prove that there's not increased safety in these intersections, and I believe it's about revenue. You may disagree with me on this.
Well, I do disagree with you, and I could tell you about some of the intersections in my district that have red light cameras. And if you look at Lucas and High in North County, that's one of the main thoroughfares in my district, and there are a lot of accidents. I can also tell you about in University City the number of people that have been killed because of dangerous drivers.
Well, Senator, if it's about safety, put the camera in, pay for the camera. I went to the Municipal League.
So,
I offered them a situation where they could get a small portion of this for the cost of the camera. They flat out rejected us, and they said, no, we want to just kill your bill. And that, I mean, I am not here.
I've never truly agreed with the Municipal League on everything, and I said that in committee. I don't agree with them for most things. But what I will tell you is that I do agree with what my municipalities are trying to do in my district, which is to create more safety. There are a number of people who are being killed. I just spoke to a former senator yesterday who received his $100 ticket from a red light camera, and he stated that he was wrong for what he did. He admitted that to me in my office yesterday. He was wrong. He saw the video. And so I'm glad that he noticed what he did was wrong and that he's correcting himself. Now there is a fine that he has to pay and he's not going to do it anymore. But, I mean, there is a cost. There is a cost. I mean, in a municipality, and I'm not as familiar with this, but in a municipality, there are certain expenses that you have. In most of my municipalities, they care about services for constituents. You know, that's a big deal. And so the additional revenue, if you had the full amount, the 100%, maybe some of those services would go to youth education or something. I know in our community, we have a youth council that the city is sponsoring. What if some of those revenues went into a program to help our youth who are just out on the streets and doing careless things, and we put them into a program that is productive? You know, I'm just concerned that, you know, frankly, being a school board member, now, I can only speak for myself, not for my school district, but there's one pot of money, and we are so interested in having a policy so that our students have accurate and comprehensive sex education, you know, and I know at some point in time, you know, we're going to have the policy that I really, really like and that we're all proud of. And I'm just saying, since there's just one pot of money, it's not separated. There's not like a transfer. I mean, we've been talking about our bus services. In our district, we don't get the same amount of money from the state for transportation as other school districts.
Well, Senator, this bill would help you. If there's red light cameras in your district, this bill would send money to your transportation line item to help those funding. I mean, if you're really for school funding, this helps in the aspect that there's going to be more revenue for those areas that have cameras.
But it also would create a really bad, you know, relationship. I mean, what we're trying to do, I think Normandy School District has like 21 municipalities. Ferguson has several, Ferguson Florissant School District, they have several municipalities. University City has two municipalities. And it goes on and on and on. I just don't want there to be any ill feeling between the municipalities and the school districts when they're trying to work together. I mean, right now they're trying to do cost sharing. The senator from the 7th has a bright idea in one of her bills that talks about cost sharing between public entities. But I don't know of any situation, and I understand you're talking about the property tax. I mean, that's a shared idea. I mean, that's accepted, but I don't know of any example where you know, a municipality is giving to a school district. I mean, I think this is a burden on police departments across the state. I mean, I have several police departments, and I can't tell you how many of them have the red light camera situation going, but I do know that we have a number of accidents in our community, and I want to limit the number of people who are in dangerous situations. I just do. Are you doing this because
I believe this bill allows the cameras if it's about safety. If it's about revenue, they aren't going to put the cameras in. And I think that the money going to the schools is a good place. I believe our schools are underfunded this year.
Have a red light camera area in your district?
I don't, and I've never received a red light camera ticket either. This is just a personal
situation. I don't understand. So no one has come to you from your district complaining about it? Why are you filing
it? It's about the principle of the proliferation of cameras going up and the hidden...
The proliferation?
The cameras are going up. I mean, Arnold's got a speed camera now. I mean,
Arnold, that's not even your side of the state.
No, but it's the overall purpose of these cameras going up everywhere, and I don't want cameras going up everywhere for the hidden agenda to raise revenue for municipalities and cities. I just believe that's the wrong way to go. If you want more revenue for your cities, go to the taxpayers, go to the people that
have
pay
the taxes. Have you talked to the municipalities about this? And what they say, I mean, I'm not talking about Muni League. Cause I told Muni League a while ago, you know, don't come to me. I want my municipalities to come to me individually.
Well, you know, they're carrying the water for them right now.
I'm just trying to figure out if you talk to your municipalities about this. Are they scared about the proliferation?
I've talked to Kansas City about this. Obviously, they don't like it. They've received
$7 million. Because they're getting a ticket for bad behavior.
What?
Because they're getting a ticket for bad behavior. Of course they don't like it.
This is a moving violation that they're giving a parking ticket to. I mean, I have some concerns, and they're issuing the car the ticket. I mean, the owner of the car is the one that's going to end up paying the ticket. So we go into the legalities of this and whether we think it's the right thing to do or not. I simply say if it's about safety, they have a mechanism, they can put a camera in. If it's about revenue, then this bill takes the incentive away. So,
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator from the 4th.
The senator from the 4th, would you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 14th?
Yes, Mr. President.
I know that you've been sitting here. Thank you, Mr. President. I know that you've been sitting here listening to the conversation. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
I've got a couple thoughts. Number one, the bill, I don't believe, does what the senator from the 8th has intended it to do. What happens with fine revenue in the state of Missouri, and this would be considered fine revenue, is when it goes to the school district, it's deducted from the state's portion of the funding formula. So through a series of steps, if this bill were to pass, all this would do would take money from the local municipality and increase the GR at the state level. And I'm not sure that's what we want to do.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about that in a different way, because I didn't even think about it that way. I mean, what you're saying is interesting, because I thought that if Muni money was going into the school district, it would be the school district's money.
Fine revenue, by statute, is deducted from the foundation formula payment at the state level.
That's exactly right. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now, I didn't realize that. That is a very good point. Because the more revenue a school district makes, that is an automatic decrease at the state level.
So at the end of the day, all we're doing is increasing GR at the state level at the expense of the local municipality.
So perhaps this whole bill is about increasing revenue at the state level.
Yeah.
Instead of the school district.
This bill has the effect of raising the state the local contribution to the state.
Now, last night we had a conversation about Hold Harmless.
Yes, we did.
The foundation formula. And now, since we're talking about this, let's just move forward. We get screwed as Hold Harmless school districts.
Well,
we don't get any more. We don't get any less. And so if more money is going into the foundation formula, which we don't get anything extra for, then that means it's a loss for the school district, if you're a Hold Harmless school district. Okay, let's go through this one more time. So Municipality A pays, you know, X amount of dollars to School District 1. And because of statute, you are saying that this portion of increased revenue in the school district from the local pay-in is pretty much deducted from the state input for the entire funding for that school district.
That's correct.
So if that is the case, that means that when we are in a situation like if you're a Hold Harmless school district and we naturally get screwed in our districts for being Hold Harmless, that means that there's an additional burden and additional hit in our face as Hold Harmless school districts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's accurate.
Okay, so what are your other thoughts about this?
Well, and you were very familiar. There was some bantering back and forth about the merits of the red light cameras. Mm-hmm. You know where I live. I live at Skinker and Delmar. Mm-hmm. Probably the most dangerous intersection in the city. Mm-hmm. And
very dangerous. My mom lives in your district, and I've seen a number of accidents over there.
There's constantly pieces of car on the sidewalk, and a lot of it is from making illegal right-hand turns.
Across from the gas station.
Right across from the gas station.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the pageant over there, and there's increased traffic because of the pageant. And then we have, in my district, we have the Loop, and we have a lot of people. We have a problem with people being hit. Now, let me just tell you, I was at an eighth grade class at Tour Prep for Girls last week.
Where were you?
Tour Prep. It's one of the Jewish religious schools in my district. And it was an eighth grade class, and the two girls, two of the girls had these bills that they wrote that they wanted me to hear. One of them had to do with child support, and the other bill that they wrote had to do with reflective gear that you wear at nighttime. Now, let me tell you why this is all important. This is important because we have a very high number of people who are of the Jewish faith in my district, and they walk as pedestrians. When they go on Shabbat, when they go to synagogue, they walk. Now, we've had an enormous amount of accidents. In fact, the last 4 or 5 years, we've had 3 people to get killed, all from the Jewish community. And it's something that is really sad. So in our community, we talk about the fact of having safe streets. Now, I will tell you from that little, that between 170 on Delmar to approximately where you live, people can go 40 to 45 miles an hour. So what we decided to do as a community is say, no more. We're not going to have any more people dying on the streets. No more. I mean, black, white, Jewish, Catholic, all of us said, no more accidents. We're going to try to create a safer street, a safer community. And what we ended up doing is going to St. Louis County, because St. Louis County actually owns Delmar. They're the ones who are in control of Delmar.
Yeah.
And so what we did was to change the speed limit from 35, which people were obviously ignoring, to 30 miles per hour. And we have police officers who are up and down Delmar because we have Agudath Israel, we have Young Israel, we have Base Abraham, and we have maybe a couple of other Jewish community schools and synagogues in the area. So our effort is about safety in our community. Now, do we have the red light? No. Have we had the conversation? Yes. Are people still speeding on Delmar? Absolutely. And it's wrong. One life we're talking about. And if we don't change the behavior of some of these drivers, then more people are going to be killed or hit.
Or innocent people.
You know, and that's what the girls at Tour Prep and I were talking, you know, that was what was most, what we were concerned about is safety in the community. And, you know, at some point in time, the municipality may say, hey, we need red lights. We're tired of these people speeding down Delmar. And if they do that, that's their objective. One lady is Mrs. Silverstein. I went to her. I went to school with her daughter, Julie Silverstein. They live in my district. And Julie's father was killed a few years back. He was walking to synagogue and was killed. He's one of the people.
That's a shame.
You know? And you know, their lives have been completely changed because the behavior patterns have not really changed significantly. You know, they don't have a father or a husband or a brother anymore. And every time I see them at our women's group, Women in the Neighborhood, you know, I always look at Mrs. Silverstein and, you know, she has like this demeanor sometimes, like she has a huge loss in her life. And, you know, I think about that is my reminder. That is my constant reminder, Mrs. Silverstein, not having her husband because someone, a reckless driver, was speeding down Del Mar. You know, I think about that every time I see her.
People get in a hurry, and they don't think about the consequences.
They don't. So, and you know, here's the other thing. We have committed as a municipality to have police officers up and down Del Mar and in other places because they also drive reckless down Kingsland and some other places in my municipality. And so because we have to have increased attention in certain places, you know, maybe that requires two more police officers. You know, you need revenue for that. You have to have revenue for that purpose alone. We also have an issue with kids hanging out in the loop, not being productive at all. And we have to recognize in that situation, we're going to have more police officers.
You need patrolmen on the street.
Yeah.
Now, and you have to be able to pay them.
You have to be able to.
And if they're working Friday and Saturday night, you're probably paying them overtime.
Yeah, that's exact by statute. That's one part of the statute that I like we debate upon. But that's what my concern is. It really is every single municipality, and as I've said a million times, I have 42 of them. They are there day in, day out, trying to ensure that their residents are safe from harm. They care about this issue completely, and I want them to make the best decision. You know, I know that we have an increased number of police officers that ride their bikes in my neighborhood now. They have those bikes and then some other stuff that they do now, and they had to pay for those bikes, you know. They had to pay for that so that we have increased security and we feel safe. I am glad that I have police officers with their guns in tow, you know, riding their bikes up and down the street, which makes me feel safe.
Well, you know, and it's funny you brought that up. I'm one of the boards I sit on is for the St. Louis Fire Department, and we supply bikes for the firefighters for during parades and for other public events. And they're equipped with that oxygen and AEDs, and just so the bikes are so much handier, where they can get through a crowd, where a police car or a fire truck can't get through a big crowd like that. These guys can actually get to the victim, or whoever, and either if it's a policeman, apprehend; if it's a fireman, aid. The bikes come in very, very handy. They're well worth the investment.
Mm-hmm.
And guys volunteer to get that duty. They don't want to sit in the police car or on the fire truck. And it's very effective. It's expensive. It's separate uniforms. You need a bigger core of guys that can do that. So, you know, guys work out, but you need a bigger pool of people because, you know, the guy can't ride a bike all day long like he can sit in a car. So it's very important that we fund these things. And mm-hmm. to take a revenue stream away from the municipality, I think it's extremely short-sighted. And it's compounding it by giving it to the state completely away from the municipality, intended or...
Away from the school district.
And away from the school district, whether it's intended or unintended,
mm-hmm.
I think is, again, short-sighted again. I'm going to oppose the bill, and I hope my colleagues do. I think, number one, on the merits of the red light cameras themselves, and number two, just on the funding.
Yeah, and here's my other concern as a school board member, and I always have to preface I'm speaking on my own, not for the school board. But what I would say is we have issues such as like ensuring that all of our students are able to take the ACT. You know, we failed on that mark for our standards. And in one year in particular, we went down, I want to say, almost 25% on ACT. And so if there is a revenue stream, new revenue that comes in the coffers of the school district, frankly, I'd like to see some of that money perhaps go to the ACT testing because they're kids who can't afford it. They cannot afford it. So on my spare time, like I have a lot of it, but on my spare time, I'm trying to find places, different businesses and corporations that will help underwrite some of the expenses for ACT. We have after-school sessions for students to take the ACT, and we have Saturday classes for students to take the ACT. And all I'm saying is, if we are going to intermingle public entity money like this, then we should have the freedom to be able to use that additional revenue any way that we feel fit to do so. So, you know, going to transportation, you know, I don't know. For my home school district, I mean, we have a whole different policy on transportation than that of a school district in rural Missouri. You know, I'm sure that our belief system of transportation is probably different than the city of St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Or Clayton. You know, every school district is different. Every single one in terms of what they want. Now, there's a majority and not, but you want to have, kind of like the health insurance exchange, you kind of want to have a program that fits the district. You know, like we want to have a health insurance program that fits our state. We don't want, I don't want, to have the federal government design a program that is not perfectly fit for the state of Missouri.
I agree. I was just looking. Have you seen the fiscal note on this, Bill?
You know what? I should have it in here. Why don't you tell me about it? Because I don't see it. It's probably in my workbook, my binder upstairs. Perhaps my assistant or interns, if they're listening, can bring down the fiscal note, or you can read it to me.
Three paragraphs really jump out at me on this. Number one, officials from the city of Kansas City, Missouri, state this proposal would result in a $4 million loss in revenue annually to the city.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
$4 million to the
from
city.
From where?
From the city of Kansas City.
$4 million, okay.
$4 million. The vendors paid $1.5 million, therefore the direct loss to the city is $2.5 million.
The veterans?
The vendor, the guy that puts the cameras in.
Oh, check.
Is paid $1.5 million. And so the city would lose $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
If Kansas City is no longer able to utilize this fine revenue, the costs would still need to be paid, the police department, the court system, for the vendor himself. So it's a huge impact on Kansas City.
Is St. Louis in there somewhere?
City of St. Louis, $3.4 million.
Okay, from what?
The cost is paid
to the municipality.
Yep.
Now, y'all in St. Louis City, y'all have been experiencing financial troubles.
Yes, we have.
I mean, more than most.
We've had the first time since I've been alive, we've had to pay for trash pickup. It costs $30 a month to get trash pickup from the city of St. Louis. I have a lot of constituents that have a hard time paying that.
Yeah.
They're on fixed incomes.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the article here, officials from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education state the legislation would not have a negative fiscal impact. If anything, it would cause a reduction due to increased fine money in the school district that will be a larger deduction from the foundation formula.
Wait,
it's
read
in
that,
the fiscal note.
Read that again and then say it louder in your mic.
Officials from the Department of Elementary and Secondary state it would appear that this proposed legislation would not have a negative fiscal impact on the state. If anything, it could cause a reduction due to increased fine money in the school district, which would be a larger deduction from the foundation formula.
Well, that says it right there. You know, I don't know how I skipped that. I usually go through all this with the fine-tooth comb.
Well, we have a lot of stuff to read.
Wow, I'm glad that you brought that to my attention. Now, y'all in St. Louis City, I have some information that I got from an intern who left some stuff in my car last year, and it was a whole report. I was going to use it for that local control debate. It's a big packet of information about the finances of St. Louis City. Now, I'm not going to be negative, but we're all experiencing loss.
Yes, we are.
Revelant new loss. If you are a community like mine, and I always pick up University City because that's where I've lived all my life, but if you are in that municipality in particular, you have an aging population. So one, you have an aging population, and two, you have a decreasing student enrollment. All right? Now, the costs for buildings are always going to stay the same. You know, now we are debating the whole Turner thing, but the cost for buildings, having the lights on, you know.
Doing nothing but going up.
It doesn't change.
It goes up.
It doesn't change. And yeah, now it is going up. So if we're losing money from the foundation formula as a Hold Harmless school district, you have a community like mine that's aging. And at some point in time, because we so much care about the services, we have always been service-oriented throughout time in our community. I'm very proud about that. But the municipality doesn't want to increase taxes. They don't want to do that. We're having to work as a school district. We're having to work with the municipality. And to their credit, St. Louis City is part of this youth engagement board or whatever you call it, this youth initiative, because a lot of the kids from the area, from even Chesterfield, from North County, from St. Louis City, they like to hover around in my district in the loop. And that has caused us to need more police patrol. I mean, there, I can tell you, my next door neighbor, Katie Ayers, she was running Riddles. You remember Riddles?
It's now replaced by my favorite restaurant.
It's
Riddles Penultimate.
Yes.
You know what penultimate means?
Tell me.
Second to last.
Oh.
It was supposed to be a second to last restaurant.
Yes. So KT, my next door neighbor, who also created the recipe for my black eyed pea Puerto Rican chili, she told me that there at times were as many as 60 kids who were outside of Riddles who were trying to have fights. And then all of her customers were so disappointed because they were trying to just experience a lovely dinner on a Saturday evening during the summer. And they couldn't enjoy their dinner because there were students, kids, teenagers, who were getting into fights, as many as 60 of them at a time. And it was very, very difficult. So the business association in the loop, the special business district that meets on Tuesdays, they decided to get together and talk about this occurrence of these kids coming into the loop and disrupting business. You know, that was a huge concern. So the city of St. Louis and University City and other municipalities decided to get together and talk about this issue and say we have to do something about it. Now, in all due credit, the school districts have come together as well. And that's where we're trying to cooperate with one another. But, you know, I say this, I'm repeating what I'm saying because I want to just make it clear. There are ways that we're already working together. It may not be transportation dollars that we need. It may be an after-school program that we need, and we're working with the municipality. And there may be cost-sharing just in that, which is why I support that measure that the senator from the 7th has. Do you have something to say? I didn't intend for that to be a joke.
There's no doubt that my school district has had its problems. There's also no doubt that we are making progress on those problems.
Mm-hmm.
My city's had problems. My district's had problems. And to divert money away from that when we need it the most. You know, the crime rate in the city's dropping drastically. We have more policemen on the street. Mm-hmm. To take that source of revenue away now, again, where are our priorities here?
And you guys are advertising for more police. I've seen in a couple of papers where you guys have a cadet academy or something.
We even have a citizens academy. It'll be in my next newsletter.
Okay.
You know, we're trying to get neighbors involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take back the streets, literally.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's working.
Mm-hmm.
The 21st Ward, we put cameras on the streets up there.
That's what I was talking about. That was Antonio French.
Antonio French.
Who is completely concerned about the safety of people who are in his ward. And there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a wonderful neighborhood. That O'Fallon Park, I believe, is over there.
Yep. The cameras are on Lee Avenue. And this is in my district.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we don't do something, we're losing a whole generation of African Americans. A whole generation. People are getting killed one and two and three a day.
You know, in my district, I told you it's my Jewish community that is concerned about safety. Now we have, since we closed Del Mar Harvard Elementary School, and we have kids from the Heights walking all the way to Flynn Park, where I went to elementary school, that, you know where my Lions are in my district?
Yeah.
So the Heights is right north of the Lions, and the kids from the Heights are now having to walk to the hills. And when you cross between the Lions, you know, across Del Mar, it's highly dangerous.
It is highly dangerous.
It's highly dangerous.
There's a lot of cars coming from a lot of different directions.
And so we are nervous. We're so nervous about the safety of our babies. I mean, just imagine. Can you imagine a little 10-year-old or 11-year-old walking to school?
Or a kid on a bike.
And something happened. And you know what? Let me tell you. Mr. G, he's actually, Gordon Heyman is actually, he should be about 10 years old now, and he's one of my favorite little kids who listens to NPR. His parents indoctrinated him liberally. I think that's very nice. But in any case, Gordon rides his bike to school. He rides his bike from the Heights on the north side of Del Mar all the way to Flynn Park. And I asked Sarah, his mom, you know, are you feeling okay? So they always ride their bikes together. They're, you know, my loyal tree huggers in my district that I adore. But she feels okay about it. But that's her only son. That's her only son.
Right, right.
You know, what happens if Gordon is in an accident? He's a little 10-year-old.
Then, yeah.
You know, I just can't imagine the smart, brilliant kid. His dad works at Boeing. His mom is a scientist. And they lose, and she was an older mother, too.
And
they lose their only kid.
And you know what? The price of gas today is, I saw.
That's painful. That's
$3.28, and more people are on bikes.
Mm-hmm. And especially, we want to. We're a pedestrian-friendly community.
We're trying to be.
Yeah. I mean, there's a measure that was passed, and I actually think I may be wrong on this, but I want to say that the senator from the 8th did sponsor legislation dealing with pedestrian walkways and all this other kind of stuff. I want to say that some years ago when we were in the House.
Oh, I wasn't
there. I don't remember if that was him or not, but I think it was. In any case, you know, we try to promote that. In fact, we have a committee in our district. I live by a park, and there's a marquee on the park's property. And about a month ago, there was a sign that said, "We have a commission on pedestrian safety." I mean, that's how serious the community is about all of this.
Sure it is. I mean, the loop, there, the Eastern Loop, everything that's east of Skinker is. There are two places there to rent bikes. Because of the close proximity to Forest Park, people go to Del Mar, they rent bikes, they're in the street, they're on the sidewalks, they go to Forest Park. We're trying to maintain a safe right-of-way to draw people into the city so they can enjoy Forest Park, they can enjoy all the amenities, not only of the city, but of Forest Park, the art museum, the zoo, the science center, and to take away the funding for public safety to do that, again, it's counterproductive. I don't know why we want to go down this road.
And just for clarification, Arnold does not have a red light camera.
I don't know.
Or does not have a speed camera.
Well, that's good to know. Not that I ever go to Arnold, but
I don't live there either. I mean, this is the whole reason why I wanted to have the discussion. I know my council person, Mr. Glickert, he mentioned some years ago about the discussion of red light camera, and I think there wasn't a lot of support for it, and we try to do other things to make changes. Now we do have on these lights, we do have something up there, but I don't know what it is. I've never asked, and I haven't gotten a ticket, so I don't know if it actually works or if it's functioning, but I'm going to ask them about it.
Well, I can tell you Skinker and Delmar has a red light camera. That's a very dangerous intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Skinker and Forsyth has a red light camera. That's all the people going along the bikeway.
Now, Skinker and Forsyth is very dangerous.
It's extremely dangerous. And all they're doing is protecting the people that are on the bike path. Forest Park Parkway doesn't have one.
No, but that is dangerous as well, because when you're on Skinker and you're going north and you're just about to cross over Forest Park Parkway, you have two lanes that turn going left onto Forest Park Parkway right next to, you have Washington University. You have Washington University.
Yeah. And they have 40,000 kids.
To the left.
No, no. They have 30,000 kids.
Uh-huh.
Most of them on bikes. And then you go up to Skinker and Clayton. There's a red light camera there, which is another dangerous intersection. There's only two northwest corridors, or north-south corridors in the city of St. Louis, Kings Highway and Skinker. So all the traffic congregates there. So it takes a huge amount of traffic.
Yeah.
And when you have that many traffic and that much traffic and that many pedestrians in one area, you have to crack down on traffic laws.
Mm-hmm.
People have to pay attention. Otherwise, you know, a confrontation between a car and a person and a car and a bicyclist, the car always wins.
Head injury.
Helmet or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, you know, the extra funding should go to the second injury fund.
Or, yeah. Well, I mean, we need to do something.
It needs money. It needs money. There are people who have needs. Just a thought.
So, as you can tell, I'm a strong proponent of red light cameras. They treat my district very well. They protect people.
Mm-hmm.
And as you well know, losing anybody in your family, especially a young person, can be devastating.
What concerns me is what you brought forth. I don't want to lose any more money for our school districts. You know, I remember a conversation where someone, you know who said it, but I won't say it, someone said we don't need X amount of dollars, millions of dollars to going to the wrong school districts.
Right.
You remember when that was stated?
Yep.
And my question was, how do you define the wrong school districts? Okay, so my school district is not one of those rich school districts at all. You know, we are absolutely struggling. We're trying to keep a fund balance. The new recommendation is about 17%. We have been teetering on a 12% fund balance in our district. As we are looking at the direction we may or may not take in terms of the foundation formula, one of the suggestions from the Missouri School Boards Association is to have a fund balance that is about 17%. And so with these bills that are before us, I think that I'm forgetting which senators, so I'm not going to mention my name, but the senator who has a bill, which I think is 454, and the representative that has a bill dealing with the formula, you know, it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact on our local school districts.
It's going to
have,
sure it is.
Where, actually, in one of the write-ups, we get about $300,000. In another one, there's about 48, I think, the dinner that we were at last night.
How many school districts do you have? You have Normandy and U City.
I have eight school districts.
You have eight school districts?
Yes, eight.
All right.
I have eight. And the special school district.
And how many municipalities?
42 of them. Now, that's hard.
Sure, it's hard.
You know, that's a heavy balancing act, really. It really is. 42 okay. Different people, different boards, 8 school boards, 7-8 personalities on each one of those. It's difficult.
And how many of your municipalities utilize red light cameras?
You know, I want to venture and say like 4 of them, but I don't know if that's accurate.
Okay.
I do not. I know St. Anne. I know I have about 5 municipalities on Lucas.
You have Velda Village there?
Have Velda Village.
Yeah, I think they have them.
I have Velda City. Ooh, don't quiz me on all of them. Rita Days wanted to do that. In fact, you know what she did a couple of years ago? Senator Days caught me in the rotunda, and she says, "Girl, you just got to know your school districts. What are your school districts in the Senate district?" You know. And so I'm like, okay. At that time, we had Wellston, Normandy, City, Jennings, Pattonville, Rittner. And I'm probably forgetting one.
Yeah.
But I read to all of them. But anyway, she quizzed me, and then the special school district, and she was like, "Don't ever forget the special school district." So it was kind of interesting. But don't quiz me on my 42 municipalities. Por favor.
That's a lot of Christmas parties.
Ooh, you know it is. It is. It's supposed to be the downtime, but the municipality that has the best Christmas party is Normandy.
Normandy?
Yes. Normandy has the best Christmas party. Hands down. That typically Oscars.
I don't know anybody up there.
It's a great mom and pop shop. It's a locally owned business. And Tom.
I do play golf at Normandy Golf Club.
Wait, we have, 3 golf courses in my district? And we have 3 farms.
I didn't know you had the farms.
3 farms. We have 3 farms and 3 golf courses.
Yeah.
You know, in my own backyard, we have a 9-hole course. That's Ruth Park.
Ruth Park, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, oh, geez, you know them better. I know where they are, but I can't.
You have Glen Echo?
Huh?
Glen Echo Country Club.
That's
up there
one.
On Lucas and Hunt.
And then I have another one where I'm having an event with all of my mayors coming up in March. And that one I really like, too. I really like that. But you have to, be a member.
Yeah. Someday.
Get access to membership. I don't know if I can afford it, but I try. So anyway, in your area, you have one municipality, obviously. You have how many aldermen?
I have 28 boards? Aldermen.
Pardon?
I have 28 aldermen.
In your district?
Oh, in my district, 18.
You have 18. So you
I have all are a portion of 18 wards.
Okay, so that's like 18 munis in a different. Because how would you define that? 18 munis?
No, not really. I mean, pretty much everybody. There's like anything else, any organization.
But it's 18 personalities.
You've got outliers on the left and outliers on the right, but most of them kind of congregate in the middle. So,
mm-hmm.
You know.
And you have committee men and committee women.
I have 18. Each ward has 2 committee men, or a committee man and a committee woman.
Do you have Tom Villa?
No.
You don't have Villa Deschain?
I will get him. If
well, you may
get him if they ratified the map that came out. I go across Delore and I take all South St. Louis. So.
You know, he sends me every year. Every time he sees me in an article, he sends the article to me. And I was going through my paperwork that my lovely assistant gave me today. And Tom Villa, one of my favorite people in the world.
He is actually one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Here's his note today. Dear Coop, because I have a nickname. My nickname that...
Coop?
Coop DeVille.
Coop DeVille.
That's my nickname from Tom Villa, Coop DeVille.
All right.
And I call him Villa Deschain. And he says, "You look stupid in this photo." Mike Dawes. So he's always hilarious, and this is from his aldermatic letterhead here.
Were you in the house with him?
Yes, I was. Okay. He was one of my best friends. But anyway, I don't know how he got a hold of this, because this picture is of me at the Ferguson Florissant School District receiving the Martin Luther King Award. And it's pretty funny, because I was trying to have a cute smile, and he said I looked stupid, but he's just being funny, as he generally is.
I understand when he was in the house, his desk partner was John Bowman.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and just tormented him. Poor John. You got to get John to tell you some stories about him. Just did all sorts of mean things to him.
Yeah. So, can I tell you what I... Well, I can't tell you. I provided a gift to Tom Villa in his final year. And it is one gift that definitely made him red in the face. I left it...
I'm not sure I want to know this.
No, I'll tell you offline. But, you know, he always had this thing about writing these mean notes on Mike Dawes's letterhead. And I don't know how he does it, but like I said, he goes through all of these papers, even these little local papers in St. Louis County, and he picks out these articles, and he does this to everyone. He writes something stupid, and then he attributes it to Mike Dawes. Which is completely hilarious. And so Mike has always been...
Did he ever realize what was going on?
Pardon?
Did
yes,
Mike?
He did. He did. And he was really upset, because he was like, there's so many people who are getting mad at me because they think I'm writing these notes, these mean notes, because basically, you know, they're kind of mean, but funny. They're funny. He's only saying it to be hilarious. And... it's just kind of interesting how Mike responded to some of the letters. Because when I didn't know that Tom was actually doing these, I went to Mike Dawes, and I had my, you know, my character attitude. And I was like, excuse me? Excuse me? So, anyway, he explained what was happening. And then I knew, after I started getting more and more notes from Tom Villa, that he was just trying to be funny and amusing, and it definitely was a laugh. And so during my election in 2010, I probably got like 5 or 6 of them. And I learned from those experiences that when you're going through, you know, really hard times or whatever, when we go through that electoral process and you get these funny notes, it really lifts your spirits up.
Sure, yeah. I mean, people don't realize what running for election can do. You go from extreme highs to extreme lows very quickly, and
now
sometimes a good note helps.
What I don't recall is where Tom Villa was on red light cameras, so I don't know that. I don't know what his position was.
Did that issue come up when you were in the House?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
It did come up. And I wasn't as familiar. It came more up in the Senate, from what I recall. And then it somehow came over to the House. But, you know, like our favorite subject in the House, I didn't pay as much attention to it. But now I'm paying more attention to it. And, you know, my predecessor was like, listen, this is definitely about the safety of your constituents in the area. And you just need to realize that there are a lot of things that are happening, and we want to ensure that people are safe. So I think there's someone who wants to do an introduction.
3 senators standing. Senator from Newton, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could get unanimous consent, I'd ask unanimous consent for an introduction, please.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
We have a group from Missouri Southern, the dental hygienist, and you can see by their smiles, their pearly whites, that they're doing a very good job, and they've graced our parents here in the Missouri Senate and asked you to make them feel welcome.
Great. Will the guests of the Senator from Newton stand to be recognized? Thanks for coming to the state capitol. Senator from the 14th, proceed.
Thank you. So actually there are 12 red light camera programs and only 3 new cameras in the last 2 years. So that really doesn't prove that there's a proliferation.
That's in your district or is that statewide?
That's what I'm reading. I can't tell you that. But also what's pointed out is that these red light cameras have also have assisted in solving homicides and other crimes. So
I realize that. You have to tell me about that.
Yes. Well, I could tell you about crime. But robberies, homicides.
Three senators standing. Senator from Atchison, for what purpose do you rise? Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I believe we have some other business that need to be taken care of. Would you be so kind to lay that bill over on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. The junior senator from St. Charles County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to order business the third reading Senate bills.
Third reading of Senate bills. Senate Bill 592. Senator from Mercer.
President, I move that Senate Bill 592 be brought before the body for third reading.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Holt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate Bill 592 be read a third time, placed upon its final passage. As everyone remembers, this is the employment law legislation that we worked through last year and last week. We have gone through the fiscal oversight process. We are now ready to third read the bill, send it to the House, where I'm sure, I'm quite confident there will be changes made, and we will see this again as the session moves forward. With that, Mr. President, I'm happy to answer any questions. I renew my motion for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire of the senator from the 14th?
Senator from the 14th. You?
Yes.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, how are you this morning?
I'm okay, thank you.
I know we're anxious to get to the senator from Nottoway's bill. I was intrigued by the conversation that you were having with the senator from the 4th on this issue of the senator from the 8th that had before the body as far as the red light cameras in your district and in the senator from the 4th. What was interesting to me about your discussion was how much time you focused on the revenues that it brought into your districts and how it would affect your districts if those revenues ended up going to the school districts, even in the event that if it affected the amount of revenue that would come from the foundation formula to the different school districts. Although that was intriguing and interesting, the thing that's more interesting to me about this issue is the senator from the 4th mentioned how these are making his intersections and streets safer, that these cameras, by them being in place in the city of St. Louis, are making the streets safer. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to get this point out, since I didn't have an opportunity when the bill was up. But I went to the trouble of actually sunshining some information from the city of St. Louis in relation to their camera program. And I asked them to give me a list of citations that went to individuals for multiple tickets for running red lights where these cameras are employed in the city of St. Louis. And there are actually over 1,310 individuals that have received between 4 citations and then all the way up to 10 plus citations in the city of St. Louis alone. And what I want to make apparent to the senator from the 4th is that, in essence, this system is actually making his intersections more dangerous, not safer. Because the intent of this legislature was, when somebody got 4 moving violations, you know, running a red light, that they were in danger of losing their driving privileges. That was the intent of this legislature. That's still in the statute, that if you have a moving violation, you get 2 points against your, you know, your driving privileges. And when you accumulate 8 points, then you could lose your license. And I would make the case that that would make that street safer by taking a dangerous driver off. Yet what's happening in these intersections is that we have individuals that have 10-plus citations in the city of St. Louis, and all they got to do is pay a $100 fine. And they continue with their bad habits, their bad driving habits. So I just wanted to get it out there that it's not about safety. I had an amendment dropped on this that would actually make all the intersections safer. They could still have the red light camera programs, but we'd standardize the yellow timing on the lights, which MoDOT uses on their intersections on roads that they maintain across the state. It's a national standard. It's being used in many other states. And that bill, I believe, is moving through the process, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to debate that bill sometime in this session. But if it really is about safety, then I think that we ought to look at the idea of actually having less tickets actually written. You know, and that means people aren't blowing through red lights. Okay, so if there is something that we can do to lessen the amount of people running red lights, I think everybody benefits, except for those municipalities that are counting on the revenue from those tickets. So, Senator, I appreciate the inquiry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you sharing your perspective, because oftentimes when we have a discussion on the floor, we only hear one perspective. And I think what I established last week is that I want to know where you're coming from. I know that you are passionate about this issue, and that you have been an advocate for a long time for your position, but I want to understand that. And I hope offline that you and I can have a discussion about what you know that I may not know.
Yeah, I'd love to work with you on it. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Appreciate
so much.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of you.
State your inquiry.
We are on third reading.
Yes, we are.
Okay, to inquire the senator from...
Give Andrew.
Grundy.
Senator from Holt, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I do not want to shock you, but I do read the weekly update of the Missouri Chamber.
Uh-huh.
You, 2 weeks in a row, you're on the front cover.
Wow.
Same picture. But they have their issues. Everyone has their issues. But they got a little political.
Okay.
In this week's. And I want to read that segment to you. Similar legislation was passed by the General Assembly last legislative session, but was vetoed by Governor Nixon. As was the case last session, debate of the bill continues to be surrounded by misinformation distributed by opponents of the legislation, specifically the Missouri Association of Trial Attorneys, a group that has a great deal to lose by making it tougher to file frivolous lawsuits in Missouri. Trial attorneys have filled political campaign coffers with contributions to buy influence. Trial attorneys have filled political campaign coffers with contributions to buy influence. For example, the well-known plaintiff's attorney from Gray, Ritter, and Graham this week wrote a check for $100,000 to Governor Nixon's reelection campaign. I just want to make it clear that TAMCO contributed $250,000 to your political campaign.
Correct.
And I believe you have another $250,000 from Herzog Contracting Company to your political campaign as well. So I just wanted to clarify
the point of this inquiry,
campaign
Senator.
Contributions by influence in $100,000 on the chamber's little flyer to the governor. I just wanted to make sure that we also made the public aware that the handler of the bill has received large campaign contributions.
That's right.
Well.
And I think that I will be the first person to stand on this floor. I have filed this bill for 3 or 4 years now. If we don't get it done this year, I'm going to file this bill again next year. It's regardless of who is part of the political process or not. That's irrelevant to me. I believe that we have a job to do, and that's to craft the best public policy forward. I believe that we need to make these changes. I respect that others don't. That's part of what we do in this body. It's unfortunate that outside groups create or try to create this level of discontent, maybe for lack of a better term, Senator. But I would think, I would hope that no one in this body, the 34 people that comprise the state Senate, do things or don't do things because of contributions. If that is the case, then we have... It says it's a very sad statement about where we've evolved to in public policy.
As I was always taught, I was born at night, but not last night. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th, do you yield?
I yield.
Yes, proceed.
Thank you. I wasn't going to stand up because I think we've had plenty of discussion.
Yes, and I... And
but
go
you,
ahead.
You read something that was really interesting. I have not read this yet. I have a list of things to read, but you cited that the chamber said this, the trial attorneys are upset because of frivolous...
In the Missouri chamber, weekly... little flyer they put out.
They called these frivolous lawsuits, really?
Yes, they did.
They called these frivolous lawsuits?
Yes, and there'll be another day we continue that debate. I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of the fact that they stated...
So here's my concern. I'm sorry, because now I'm angry.
Well, I didn't want to...
It's fine. But I don't know when a 16-year-old is sexually harassed... and who is trying to get her issue or his issue addressed, I don't think that is a frivolous lawsuit at all. So for the chamber to say that this bill is going to help eliminate frivolous lawsuits, are you serious? You know, why don't they have a 16-year-old who's sexually harassed? Yeah, I'd like to see one of their children for all the corporations that are part of the chamber. I'd like to hear what they'd have to say when their 16-year-old child is dry humped, when their 16-year-old child who is trying to work on a job is harassed verbally and physically. That doesn't sound like a frivolous lawsuit. That sounds like justice. That sounds like justice. So I'm concerned about where the chamber is coming from in this regard. And maybe next week, when they send out their next report, they'll address those issues of 16-year-olds who are getting sexually harassed. I want to see that on the front page. What are they doing to help alleviate these children who are being sexually harassed in the workforce?
Here's where I was going. I wasn't going to state anything until I seen this, and I seen the Missouri Chamber state, and I understand your frustration, but they stated a group that has a great deal to lose, making it tougher to file frivolous lawsuits, such as you have argued, but trial attorneys fill political campaign coffers with contributions to buy influence, and then they use the example of the governor's campaign. I just wanted to bring that out on the floor as well.
No, you made a fine point, Senator. You made a fine point. It needed to be said. I didn't see all this or do the research on who was given to who. You know, it's a pitiful shame that who I always talk about is Rex Singfield. I always talk about Rex Singfield, so that's where I start. Because he obviously has bought off a lot of people, a lot of folks. And then all of a sudden we see all of these bills that he supports out there. I didn't know about the three H's. I don't know if they were in a room. I would not be able to tell who they are.
Right.
But it is a horrible day in democracy when there are people who are just giving their money free willy, just giving the money, and they're saying that this measure is going to reduce the number of frivolous lawsuits when there are lawsuits where people have been sexually harassed and then those cases have been thrown out. Those cases dealing with our children being sexually harassed have been thrown out. And you're going to have the Missouri Chamber say this is frivolous? I'm sorry, that is not frivolous at all. I would want my child to be able to go through the justice system to become whole again, which is the point that I was trying to make last week. But for the chamber to say that, it is a very sad day.
I think we both concur, and I think we have both expressed our frustrations with their statements in their weekly journal. And there'll be other days to discuss other issues. But we've brought forth the two issues of frivolous. We have a different definition. And political influence. And I don't want to delay the vote anymore. I'm going to vote against it. But I just wanted to bring it because it frustrated me to see they always state one side. Let's put all the facts out there. That's all I was trying to say.
Absolutely. Thank you so much,
Thank
Senator.
You.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I renew my motion, I would just remind everyone, all this bill does is bring Missouri practice back into line with federal practice, just like it was done for 40 plus years until appellate judges and Supreme Court judges began to rewrite our state statute. Actually, they didn't rewrite state statute through case law. They changed the way that employment law operated. This takes it back to the way it operated since 1964 when the Civil Rights Act was passed. The president signed that bill with Martin Luther King standing on the stage next to him. This is not a radical departure from the way that it has been practiced for almost half a century. This simply puts us back into alignment. With that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The senator from Grundy renews his motion that Senate Bill number 592 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 592, an act relating to unlawful discriminatory practices. Senators Brown,
aye.
Callahan,
aye.
Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey,
aye.
Dixon, Engler,
aye.
Goodman,
aye.
Green,
yes.
Justice,
no.
Kevany,
no.
Kehoe, Kraus,
yes.
Lager,
aye.
Lamping,
yes.
Lemke, Mayer,
aye.
McKenna,
no.
Munslinger,
aye.
Nieves, Parson,
aye.
Pierce,
aye.
Ferguson, Richard,
aye.
Ridgeway, Roop,
aye.
Schaff,
aye.
Schaefer,
aye.
Schmidt,
aye.
Stouffer,
aye.
Lawson,
aye.
Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 11th. As an aye. It will be a no. Senator from Cole. Senator from Franklin. Senator from the 13th. Senator from the 7th. Sorry. Senator from Green. Senator from Clay. Senator from Howell. By your vote of 25 aye, 8 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show. The Senator from Andrew moves to the title being agreed to. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Senator from Atchison.
I move the vote by which the bill passed, the bill passed, be reconsidered.
The senator from Nottoway moves that the vote by which the bill passed be reconsidered. The senior senator from St. Charles.
Move that motion to lay on the table.
The senior senator from St. Charles moved the motion lie on the table. The question occurs on the latter motion. Those of the opinion the motion shall prevail shall say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes have it. Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate, we'll go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Send your report forward.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolution, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill 455, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 564 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the House? If there are, would you please have those read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1036, an act relating to political party emblems on ballots. Also, House Bill 1039, an act relating to the Missouri Local Government Employees Retirement System. Also, House Bill 1099, an act relating to the designation of veterans of Operation Iraq Enduring Freedom Day. Also, House Bill 1100, an act relating to the designation of Vietnam Veterans Day. And also, House Bill 1105, an act relating to the state militia, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Stoddard, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer to Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, Senate Bill 455, that was perfected?
That bill will be so referred. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Governmental Accountability will meet today at 3 o'clock in Senate Committee Room 2. Thank you, Mr. President.
Announcements. Senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President. Your Committee on Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources will meet at 1 o'clock today. Slight change in Senate Hearing Room 2.
Further announcements. The senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government will be meeting in the lounge at 1 p.m. this afternoon.
Further announcements. The chair would like to announce that the Education Committee will meet promptly at 3 o'clock at the Senate Lounge. Education, promptly at 3 o'clock. Further announcements. Further announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned under the rules.